Well, I hope that you all have some wonderful Thanksgiving plans in the works, and this great tradition that we celebrate. I hope that I can convince you this morning that Thanksgiving, gratitude, is not just something that maybe we celebrate once a year, but it is actually the very heart of the Christian religion. It is actually the very heart of the Christian religion, especially when you think about it this way. And when I began to think about gratitude and thanksgiving this way, it sort of changed my perspective. Thanks and praise. Thanks and praise. Thanks and praise. Those two things are closely related, almost the same thing. Your job is to worship and glorify God, right? That's why He made you. That's why He put you here. Why do you think He gave you all those good things? Why do you think He created such a beautiful world for you to live in that is so hospitable toward you? That you would return thanks and praise to Him, right? Doesn't this tie in with like the whole reason that God created the world and the reason that He created you, the reason that He saved you in Christ, is to return to Him thanks and praise. We have sort of a beautiful one-liner from the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He writes this to the church in Thessalonica, sort of at the end of his letter, and he's kind of giving them a number of really good one-liners at the end, like, here's a list of 10 or 15 things to keep in mind. And this is one he gives. Look at this, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I remember as a young man being in Africa, well, I was probably 24 at the time, one of my first trips there, and we were going hut-to-hut evangelism out in the countryside, just mud huts, grass-thatched roofs, and sharing the gospel as we went. And as we arrived to one hut, they were having dinner at the time. And so, in true African hospitable style, they invited us to come in and to actually eat with them. They said, you can share with us the Word of God, and we're going to share some food with you. And so, sure enough, they gave me a bowl of food. I had some mashed up corn in there and a big piece of a chicken leg, that had been boiled. And I said, please. And they're all sort of watching you, waiting for you to eat. So I picked up that chicken leg, and I took a bite out of it like this, except that I couldn't, because that chicken leg was so tough, it was sort of like biting into a rubber tire. Your teeth could not penetrate that flesh. It defeated me in that moment. And I was kind of feeling a little bit ashamed, you know, like, you know, you're supposed to eat what they give you. And I ate the other things in the bowl quickly, and I tried a couple times and could not penetrate that chicken right there. And so I actually just had to give it back. And right as they gave it back, you know, this family, they probably have chicken once a week, meat of any type, maybe once a week. And they gave it to the kids, and the kids took that chicken and immediately got down to it and were able to rip that meat right off that bone. It's like their jaws were stronger than my jaws. They were used to that. They could easily do that. Now there's something, isn't it? Someone taking a chicken leg that's been chewed on by someone else, and that's like eating a rubber tire and downing it, enjoying it. Now, I know you might complain when Aunt Jenny overcooks the turkey this Thanksgiving, okay? But it's not exactly analogous to that. It's not exactly analogous. I want you to remember that when you're eating that overcooked turkey, okay? When you stop and think about the ways in which you are blessed, it will make you not feel ashamed. No, that's not the right response. Guilt. That's not the right response. That's not the right emotion you're supposed to have when you think about all the wealth and comfort and blessings that have been given to you. What you're supposed to think is thanks, praise, gratitude. That's actually the reason why God gives you those things, okay? Whether it was that chicken leg to that child, or whether it's a very nicely cooked turkey, or a wonderful sweet fellowship with family this week, all of those blessings that God has given you are given to you for one reason, that you would return thanks to him. That's why he's giving them to you, because he delights in you, you're his child, and he wants you to return thanks and praise, worship and glory to him. That's why he made the whole world. That's why he put you in this world. That's why he sent Jesus to save you, so that your heart could be changed and you understand that God doesn't hate you and want to judge you and send you to hell, but that you realize that he loves you and that you would believe in his son and not perish, right? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, John 3:17. That's the purpose of all those blessings. But will you miss the purpose? That's the question for you this morning. Will you miss that purpose, right? Will you return thanks? I love that phrase, return thanks. Will you return thanks? Will you return praise? As you even sit here this morning, and all of us could do this, all of us could begin to list out all of those ways in which you're a blessing. That's what I loved about that hymn. Read through each verse of that hymn. Did you notice how it kind of progresses from earthly blessings to relationships with other people to the gift of Jesus Christ, God's Son? It's sort of like ascending order, right? When you begin to list out all the things, all the ways in which you are blessed, you should come to this conclusion. I must be a person of unassailable gratitude. I must be a person of unassailable gratitude. And that's what Paul says. He says, give thanks in what? In all circumstances. He didn't say give thanks for all circumstances, you know. Thank you that I broke my leg. He says give thanks in all circumstances. I broke my leg yesterday, but I'm still praising you, Lord. And nothing can take that away from me. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's the beauty of what Paul is saying here. Because God has given you so many blessings that even the bad stuff that happens to you, it doesn't even weigh out. It doesn't even weigh out. Not even close. And then he said, this is God's will for you. This is, in other words, this is God's desire for you in Christ Jesus, that you would be a person of unassailable gratitude. And that's why I'm saying that that's the purpose of you receiving those blessings, is that you would return thanks to him. So it's like this cycle. They say in electricity they don't like the closed loop. Same for the human mind. It doesn't like an open loop. Neither does God. He gives you blessings, and you return to him thanks and praise. Close the loop. John Calvin puts it very succinctly. We must remember that all things are made for us with the purpose that we may know and acknowledge their author. We should praise his kindness toward us in earthly matters by giving him thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances. So this Thanksgiving, I want you to think about a variety of things. I want you to list out in your mind all of the physical and earthly blessings. That's what Calvin was just saying there. I mean, all the little things, all the luxuries, all the little extra measures of God's love for you that somebody else might not have. Give thanks for those things. Give thanks for family, even unconverted ones or ordinary ones. Give thanks for friends. Give thanks for the church. Give thanks above all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you actually stop and... Because here's the deal, right? It's the Job test. All the other things could be taken away. And that's God's bet with the devil. If I took away all the other stuff from Dennis, would he still praise me? Would he take the advice of his wife? No, we won't say that. Curse God and die? No, definitely Karen would never say that. But would he curse God and die? Or would he still give thanks and praise if he took away your business, your truck, your house, the chief of all blessings to give thanks for is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to list a few things off for you. And if you feel thankful for it, you can say amen. Jesus went hungry when he fasted, but he has promised you your daily bread. Amen. Jesus never owned anything nice, but he made you rich with many blessings. Jesus never committed sin, though he felt the pull of temptation, and he died for your sin. Amen. You had the pleasure of sin, but you didn't get the consequences of it. He never experienced the pleasure of sin, but he got the consequences of your sin. See that? Jesus left his family to bring you home to his family. Amen. Jesus went to hell after his death and announced the victory to the demons there that you would not be joining them there, but that you were going to be in paradise. That was his victory lap. He descended into hell, right? Jesus wept, the Bible tells us, so that he might be able to make the promise that one day he would wipe away every tear from your eyes. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I think that I'm not only reminding you to give thanks for all the luxuries and the comforts, right? But I'm also saying to you, give thanks even if all of those things, all those blessings were taken away, right? Give thanks even in that circumstance, even when things are not going very well for you, because you have the blessing of Christ Jesus. And Paul says in Romans, will he not with him give us all things? In other words, if you have Jesus, basically you have everything you need. You have everything that you need. So we can give thanks in every circumstance, whether the circumstances are good, whether the circumstances are not so good, right? And, you know, we're often saying to ourselves, right, we often think that we're sort of alone in our circumstances, right? And that's my question to you this morning is, what are your all circumstances that you're dealing with? When Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, okay, the good ones might be a good circumstance, definitely easy to give thanks when the circumstances are good. But all circumstances include the circumstances which are not so good as well, right? And you may be sitting here this morning and you think that your circumstances are something that cause you to not be able to give thanks. And you think you're alone in that. You think holidays don't bring family problems for everyone? I was pumping gas at the gas station this morning on the drive up, and lady walks out of the gas station, she sees my white tie and my white shirt and my tie on. She said, sir, are you going to church this morning? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, I need you to pray for me because I asked my sister to help cook at Thanksgiving and she cussed me out. And my mom's in the hospital. Pray for me. I said, okay, we will pray. Lord, we pray for that lady this morning. Help her family in Jesus' name. Think you're the only one that holidays brings family problems? You think that you're the only one struggling with financial problems, wondering how you're going to come up to the end of the month? Are you really the only one pulled by sexual temptation? Are you the only one here this morning who has lost a family member or about to lose a family member? Are you the only one depressed because right now you feel like you're lacking purpose? No. First of all, you're not alone. If we all knew each other's problems, that would be abundantly clear. But more importantly, God knows those circumstances. And having known those circumstances, he still tells you Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In other words, this is God's desire for you, that you would become a person of unassailable gratitude, that all the demons in hell could come against you at once, and he strike your skin with sores, and all of your children died on one day, and the house collapsed, and all of your flocks were taken away. But you were still thanking God. You were still praising God. You were still returning worship to him. Even if all the temporal blessings were taken away, because you have Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit. In short, you have God himself. You have that one thing, we might say, that one thing that no one and nothing can ever take away from you. That's the rock. That's the rock of Jesus Christ. As the psalmist says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It is higher than you are. If you are standing on that rock, there is nothing that can snatch you from the hand of God. There is nothing that can remove you from the love of God. Can death, can famine, can nakedness, can sword, can persecutions? Can any of those things remove you from the love of God? No, they cannot. Not even your own stubborn sinfulness. He will defeat all those things. That's the rock that's higher than you today, let me tell you. And if you have that, you have everything. Whether you have a chewed on rubber tire piece of chicken or a very succulent turkey, you are blessed. And you must return thanks to God. You must give him his due. You must bow before him. You lay down your praise and your pride. And you say, thank you. For either one, you say thank you to God. And actually, something happens. There's like a freedom that happens on the inside out. All of a sudden, those external circumstances of the sister made cornbread stuffing instead of white bread stuffing. All that kind of stuff, that just disappears. It just disappears. And maybe more serious issues. Someone's dying right now. You know, I might die. Even things like that disappear in light of his glory, in light of his grace, the countenance of his face. You're before the face of God. You and God are looking at one another this morning. And it's okay. You know that the life of the world to come is a million times better than what you experience in this life. That paradise awaits you. Just like Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. I told my mom the other day, I said, you know, some things God doesn't redeem. He just gets rid of them. Maybe that's how you feel about 2020, right? That's okay. Maybe God was sorrowed by man a lot this year as well, like in the days of Noah, and he looked out, and it says that he was sorry he had made man. What a statement. And because he saw that the thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. God is sorrowed by things often, by circumstances. It's not to say that he doesn't care about, you know, those circumstances that are going on or whatever. He does, in fact. But the point is that Jesus was called the man of sorrows. He took those sorrows that he might defeat them. He took all those diseases, all the stripes, all the punishment from you, and he took them to himself that you might go free and that you might return thanks and praise to God. And now you have much to be grateful for. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. And that's what I'm saying here. God doesn't have to change all of that bad stuff for you to be filled with gratitude today. God doesn't have to change all of the bad stuff for you to be filled with gratitude today. What he does have to change is you. He does have to change your heart from the inside out, right? That's what he is going to change this morning, if you are willing. If you are willing to let him. Maybe something's been kind of eating you, you know what I mean? But if you are willing, he can change you from the inside out, right? The change from ingratitude to gratitude is a change of attitude where you now understand your beatitude. Did you get that? The change from ingratitude to gratitude is a matter of a change in your attitude where you realize your beatitude or your blessedness. That's what beatitude means, blessedness. You realize, you wake up to the fact, you are reminded perhaps of the fact that you are blessed, that God has given you so much. And the act of realizing that then causes an attitude change. It is an attitude change. Your attitude changes. So you say, I can't complain. I can't complain. I, in fact, am the opposite of that now. I'm returning thanks to God this morning. I'm filled with gratitude. I'm filled with praise to Him for all that He has done. What if I told you that you were blessed today in ways that you took for granted each day? It's true. What if I told you that God loved you to death this morning? What if I told you that gratitude was a prerequisite for happiness? Let me say that again. Gratitude is a prerequisite for happiness. Give thanks in all circumstances. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the gifts you have given us, the chief of which was your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit with him. Paradise to boot. Lord, we have much to be grateful for. We have an unassailable rock of salvation and of glory to hang upon, Lord. We will not be moved. We will not be moved. Though all the forces of hell come against us all at once, like they did Job, we cannot be moved when we are in you, Christ. We may doubt. We may have our moments. We will have our moments of ingratitude, of doubt, of anxiety, of fighting, of judging others, of being insensible to all of your blessings, unaware of all your mercies. But you're always returning us back to the same place again and again and again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May you fill us with that thanksgiving this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.